An official statement issued in Paris today says that Britain will be able to give France far greater help than in 1914. At the beginning of the last war, France wondered whether Britain would be able to maintain mastery of the seas, but that question does not arise now. The statement points out that conscription will enable Britain to send more men to France, and that the peoples of the French and British empires will also be able to lend their support. Britain has announced an indefinite suspension of her obligations under the Naval Treaty of 1936, limiting naval guns and tonnage and providing for the exchange of information between the signatories. The British and French governments are making a cash loan of about £8.5 million to Poland in addition to the credits granted recently. The Aga Khan, who is the spiritual head of 10 million Ismailian Mohammedans, has called on his followers to give unstinted service to the cause of Great Britain. Officers of the Indian Regular Reserve have been recalled for service with the Indian Regular Forces. Here in London, Dr. Benesh, the former president of Czechoslovakia, has sent out circulars about the formation of a Czech legion to support the Allied cause. Competent circles in Istanbul say that Turkey will stay by her pledges to her allies, Great Britain and France, and to the signatories of the Balkan Pact. Japan has informed the British government that she does not intend to be involved in the European war and has asked that Britain shall not prejudice Japan's position in China. The Italian Minister of State, Signor Farinacci, has repeated the declaration that Italy will not take any initiative in the European conflict. He adds that this does not mean giving up her own policy. In Romania, the Crown Council has decided on the strict observance of neutrality. The German government have apologized to the Greek naval attaché in Berlin for the loss of the Greek cargo vessel Kostis, which sank after striking a mine. The International Committee of the Red Cross are preparing to open a central agency in Geneva for information about prisoners of war. The BBC have already started broadcasts in Hungarian. Broadcasts in Polish are to start tonight, and it is hoped that transmissions in Serb, Croatian, Romanian and Greek will follow. In France, the government have issued a warning that anyone entering a building for the purpose of committing a burglary during an air raid alarm will be liable to the death penalty. Many Paris shops are advertising a 20% reduction in prices for men serving with the French forces. There are unlikely to be any by-elections in this country for the time being, in view of the need for a united war effort. Four by-elections are at present pending. The tonnage of shipping engaged in foreign trade into United Kingdom ports in July was the highest ever recorded in a single month. Nearly three quarters of the total net increase was in British tonnage, which rose by 10% over the figure for July of last year. A large part of the increase is accounted for by the continued expansion of grain imports from South America. Notices have been issued in this country about the action to be taken if aircraft are forced down. Anyone who sees an aeroplane land or crash in open country should telephone to the nearest police station. If there is any doubt about the nationality of the machine, it should not be approached, as the crews of enemy aircraft might blow them up. Help should be given to men injured in any aircraft forced down. And now here is a fuller report of Mr. Chamberlain's first statement on the war. And before I read it, may I remind you that this is the overseas service of the BBC. Mr. Chamberlain pointed out that there were a number of matters to which he obviously could not refer, but he would give a brief resume of the position. In the East, the Poles, outnumbered and outgunned, were fighting every yard of the German advance. The Germans had often stressed the need for a short war and a quick decision. In pursuance of that idea, the German plan appeared to be to concentrate their main effort against Poland. In the West, said Mr. Chamberlain, France had mobilized with complete efficiency and smoothness, and French forces were now in contact with the enemy. No details could be disclosed, but the outbreak of war had found the same solidarity among the French people as was evident here. The Prime Minister expressed satisfaction with the efficiency with which the manning of Britain's anti-aircraft and coastal defenses had been carried out. Personnel had reached their posts with a minimum delay. The mobilization of the remainder of the army had been carried out with great smoothness, and the morale of all branches was excellent. Mr. Chamberlain said that on the naval side, the most important feature had been the development of German U-boat attacks on British shipping. The sinking of the Athenia virtually opened the war, and no denials or inventions on the part of Germany could convince the public of German innocence of that crime which had profoundly shocked and horrified the world. There had been other attacks on merchant ships, said Mr. Chamberlain, and three or four had been sunk. The Admiralty had taken countermeasures. British destroyers and other anti-submarine craft had been very active, and large reinforcements of anti-submarine and escort vessels were rapidly becoming available. The House could be satisfied that the convoy system for the protection of merchant shipping was being applied with the utmost possible speed and vigor. Mr. Chamberlain pointed out that most of the British merchantmen which had been attacked hitherto had started before the outbreak of war, and our full defensive organization could not provide for them immediately. He did not minimize the threat to our shipping, but he thought we could rest assured that the Navy would bring the problem more and more under control with their wartime experience and the later developments in detecting and destroying submarines. Mr. Chamberlain next paid tribute to the very gallant attack by the RAF on German warships off Wilhelmshaven. In this, he said, at least two hits were scored on one of the German pocket battleships. He pointed out that the German fleet bases were among the most strongly defended points in Germany, and that the weather was very poor. He also told the House that the high proportion of the RAF crews concerned had entered since the great expansion began, and that a number of them came from the Dominions. Next, he recounted how 10 million copies of notes to the German people had been scattered over North and West Germany, and added, although on each occasion the enemy defenses were set fully in motion, no contact was secured by enemy fighters, and all our aircraft returned safely. Mr. Chamberlain then turned to the country's civil defense measures, which he said were being rapidly completed, and he gave details of the evacuation and of many other movements which we have reported in our bulletin. And that is the end of the news.